Grace to you and peace from God our Savior through Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, today I'd like to start a sermon series with you on some of the things that hold us back as Christians from going forward when God calls us to go forward. And today especially I'd like to talk with you about fear and the spirit of fear, because I believe that that's one of the huge things that keeps us from going forward when God calls us to go forward, and fear instead wants us to make us go back, or it can also freeze us and immobilize us and paralyze us and stop us in our tracks when God says go forward. And so let's talk about this today, about fear and about the spirit of fear and how we can overcome that. And to do that, I'd like to look especially with you at the story of David and Goliath in the scriptures, and see what God would teach us there about dealing with fear and the spirit of fear. So let's take a look there, starting out in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we're just going to read some of that, and we'll comment as we go here. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and when they were gathered at Succoth, which belongs to Judah, they encamped between Succoth and Azekah in Ephesadamim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in line of battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had greaves of bronze upon his legs, a javelin slung between his shoulders, and the shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and his shield bearer went before him. And he stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I now a Philistine? And are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me the man that we may fight together." Then we read, "When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." There it is. They were gripped with the spirit of fear. They were trembling in their boots. And so what can we learn from this so far by this passage of Scripture, by the Holy Spirit? Well, for one, we all face fears in life. Notice, the king and the entire army were afraid to the last man of them. And it's a big part of our human experience. Some fear more, some less, but we all experience it and face it and battle against it. I know in my life, if I can just testify to you, I have really wrestled with a spirit of fear for most all of my life, really battled with it, maybe even more than most. I remember even going to birthday parties. My mom had to trick me into going to them. I didn't like going to birthday parties, even as a little boy. She put me in the car, and I'd think we're going to the supermarket. She said, "We're going there." And it was like a James Bond episode. This isn't the way to the supermarket. And she dropped me off there, and I'd kicking and screaming. I also was nervous at school sometimes, or afraid. Even as an adult, when I loved the sea, as you know, I loved it, and sailed tall ships for many years, I was sometimes afraid at the height of the masts and the roar of the waves and the darkness of a storm and the tempest. I was even afraid when I was a waiter, a part-time waiter, when I first got married. I was so nervous that I went to my first customer who ordered wine, and I ripped apart the cork I was trying to get out of the bottle. And then in trying to get it out of the bottle, I pushed it further in, and it just was crumpled up inside of their bottle. And I poured it out in dribbling little spitlets with pieces of crumbs of cork. I was afraid. That's why it happened. I was afraid of becoming a pastor at one time, and especially afraid of having to prepare sermons and preach them. And so I've wrestled with the spirit of fear my whole life. And some of us more, some less, all of us in varying degrees. And you know what? The good word is so far, God's word acknowledges that. That's something we all face. Saul, King Saul, and the entire army were greatly afraid. Paul says, when we came into Macedonia, we had no rest. Our bodies had no rest, but we were afflicted at every turn, fighting without and fear within. Paul was afraid. Peter was afraid on the night of Jesus' betrayal when he cursed himself and swore, "I don't know that man." Even Jesus battled with fear on the night of his betrayal. "Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but thine be done." And his sweat, it says, became like great drops of blood falling down upon the ground. Now, he didn't succumb to fear, but he did have to battle against it, as do we all. And so if you do battle that today, that's part of something each and every one of us has to face, and Scripture acknowledges it. That's number one. Number two, what can we learn by this passage about where fear comes from? Where do your fears arise out of? Where do they come from? Well, we can read that. We go on there, and we read, "There came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span." So how tall is that? 6 cubits and a span is actually 9.5 feet tall. So I'm about 6, okay? So imagine someone standing about right there, which is about right there or the top of that. That's as tall as Goliath was. And then on top of that, his armor was 5,000 shekels of bronze. How much is 5,000 shekels? Anybody have any idea? 126 pounds of armor he was carrying. I mean, this guy was built in addition to being tall. He had a javelin of bronze. He had the shaft of his spear was like a beam. And the head of that spear was 600 shekels. What's that? 15 pounds. Just the tip of the spear was 15 pounds. And so where does fear come from? Fear comes from when you perceive that a threat is coming against you to harm you, and that threat is bigger than you are. Isn't that a very deep point? But that's where fear comes from. That's why the people of Israel, the king and the entire army, were afraid, because they perceived that what was coming against them was bigger and stronger than they were, and they couldn't match it. If Goliath were a little pipsqueak, a little miniature dwarf, would they be afraid of him? No, he's small, and our size can certainly match him. How about when they went and fought other Philistines? They fought them because they're our same size. But when something bigger than you are, more powerful than you are, where you don't have the strength to meet it, comes against you, that's when you get fear. And fear is a perception that the threat is bigger than you can handle. And Goliath was bigger than they could handle. Beyond that, he was a champion from his youth. He never lost. Champions win. He also had this World Wrestling Federation boastful, wicked self-confidence, you know, where they all sit there and go, and they laugh at you. Well, that's how he was defying the ranks of Israel. And so this produced in them fear, the threat. It was bigger and stronger than they. Isn't that the same case in your lives? What are you afraid about today? I'll bet you that you're perceiving it as bigger and stronger than you are, and you can't match it with what you got. If you jump into the ocean here, are you afraid of a minnow or a shark? Shark, it's bigger. How about, you go to the doctor, and you hear you have a cold or you have cancer. Which is worse? Cancer, because it's bigger. You can't meet it. How about this one? $10 debt or $10,000 debt? Well, the $10,000, because I don't have the resources to match it. And so it's always the bigger thing that's bigger than you are, and your strength can't match it. Your resources are not enough. Your strength is minuscule next to it. That makes you afraid. And when you perceive it to be so, what are you afraid of today? I bet you it's bigger, you think it is, than you are. And by the way, that's where fear comes from. That's your perception of something bigger than you coming against you to attack you. But also, I believe there's a spirit behind fear a lot of times. What I mean is a demon or a devil, perhaps. Because the devil knows if he can stop you in your tracks with fear, he can stop your ministry, he can stop your life, he can ruin your life. And I believe that there are sometimes spirits that specifically want to make you afraid, and they have a very powerful presence to put you into fear, which we got to stand against. So that's where fear comes from. Next question is, what does it do to you? What can we learn by this passage? Well, we read here, verse 19, Saul and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. Behold, again, another day, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were much afraid. So what's fear do to you? Very simple. This is not rocket scientists, even though a lot of you are rocket scientists. Makes you want to run, retreat, get out of there. And it can also freeze you, immobilize you, paralyze you, stop you in your tracks, get you all clenched up, and it stops you from going forward. Here's another thing fear does to you. It imprisons you. It rules over you. It ruins you. Is there anything that you've been afraid of or are afraid of in life right now? I bet it's doing those things to you. It's ruining your life. Are you running? Are you trying to run? Are you frozen? Are you paralyzed, immobilized, chilled to the bone? Do you want to run the rest of your life, I ask you? Is that the way you want to live? Well, next question is, number point four, what does God want for you? What's his will for you? Does he want you to live the rest of your life in fear? Does he want you, his people to be in retreat, running with their tail between their legs, when something, wants you to shrink when something comes against you? What does the Bible say? For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, a fear, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. Do you believe that today? If that's the truth, then the fear that you're experiencing, unless it's the fear of the Lord, that's the only fear he wants us to have. If you have some other fear about something, guess what? It ain't from the Lord. It's a foreigner. It's a stranger. It needs to be kicked out. It's not God's will for you. Isn't that good news? If it were God's will, then you'd be in real trouble that he wants you afraid. But he wants his people with a courageous boldness about them. He says Moses in Deuteronomy 31, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it's the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. That's beautiful. And when the people in Moses' day wanted to run, remember they spied out the lion and they saw giants, many giants like Goliath, and the people all wanted to go back to Egypt. And Joshua ran to the people and stood to them and said, don't fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us, and their protection is removed, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. But all the congregation said to stone him with stones. So I want to ask you right now, which way will you go when you're confronted by fear today? Are you going to go back in retreat? Are you going to run from it? Are you going to be immobilized and stand in fear and be paralyzed the rest of your life by what's coming against you? Or are you going to go forward when God says, go forward? His people go forward. This is what he says through Moses at the Red Sea. When Pharaoh comes against them and the sea is before them, he says, why do the people cry against me? Go forward. Tell the people of Israel to go forward. And when it gets to David and Goliath, isn't that what we admire most about David? It's not that he beat Goliath, although that's great, but that he ran at Goliath without fear. And if you can do that in your life against your particular giant, you've won already. And so that's how God wants you to live. Next question is how? How do we do that? How did David run at Goliath? And how did he overcome fear? Note, he was the only man in Israel amongst the entire army who was not afraid. So what does that tell us? Something was very different about him. Want to find the key to that? We can just look back a chapter. I closed my Bible here, but I can open up 1 Samuel 16. We'll go back a chapter. The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you grieve over King Saul, seeing I've rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I'll send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I've provided for myself a king among his sons. And when David came in, the Lord said to Samuel, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. What did David have that everybody else didn't have? The Spirit of the Lord. And how did it come upon him? Mightily came upon him. What is the Holy Spirit? The Spirit of might and power. And that's the Spirit that God gives you. He doesn't give you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. And that, friends, is the Holy Spirit. And so David, when everybody else is seeing Goliath and going, oh, look at the man. Have you seen the man? David says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should be defying the armies of the living God? Right? Big difference here. Big difference. And I'll tell you, the difference is the spirit that was upon David was different from the spirit that was upon the people. And that's what you need. The Holy Spirit. For you can't exactly fight fear by the flesh, friends. You've probably tried that, as I myself have, tried to counsel yourself. Have you tried to counsel yourself out of your fears? Well, these are the reasons I don't need to be afraid. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. How much good has that done you? Maybe a little, but you're probably still in your fears because you're dealing with it according to the flesh. What you need, since this is a power struggle, is you need greater power. And guess what? The Holy Spirit is the spirit of power. And that's what you need to drive out the spirit of fear with a strong hand. You know, I think a lot of times in America and in my life, I've tried to counsel myself out of it and just reason myself out of it. What if there's an angel or a demon behind that fear? Is he going to leave because I'm counseling? He needs to be driven out with a strong hand. And even if it's an attitude, you got to drive it out with a fight and a strong hand. The Holy Spirit does that. Look at all the Bible. How did Samson get his might? A young lion roared against Samson, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion asunder as one tears a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. What's the difference with Samson? The, say it out loud, Spirit of the Lord. Gideon was afraid. He was very afraid, actually. But the Spirit of the Lord took possession of Gideon, and he sounded the trumpet, and he called out people to follow him. What was the difference for Samson? Gideon? The Spirit of the Lord. Jesus, Matthew 12 says, he says, but if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Where was Jesus' power from? The Spirit of the Lord. And so that's what you need, and Jesus has given it to you. Remember in baptism, it is said, you are born of water and the Spirit. And Peter says at Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God didn't give you a spirit of timidity and fear, but of power and love and self-control. Do you have it? Or more properly, do you have him? So then what does the Spirit do in you? Well, first he says, let's change your perspective. Right now, your fear comes, remember, from a perceived threat. Remember, you might even be afraid of something that is not even there. Let's say you're swimming in the ocean. You can't even see anything. There might not even be a shark there, but you're afraid of it because it's your perception that makes you afraid, right? You perceive it to be big. Guess what the Holy Spirit does to you when you see a giant, something coming against you that's greater than you are? He says, let's readjust our lens here and look at this differently. Is that guy really a giant? To Israel, they judged Goliath by the flesh. He's big. He's bigger than we are. David says, what, him? He's nothing. Next to my God, he isn't. This guy's just an uncircumcised pipsqueak. And I'm going to swat him as a fly, seeing as he has defied the armies of the living God. So the people saw a 9-foot-tall giant. Guess what David saw? A 9-foot-tall giant with a 900-foot-tall spirit standing behind him, the Holy Spirit. And so why should I be afraid? Goliath, you're nothing. Do you see who's standing next to you? How about in your trouble? How about in your fear? You're looking at whatever it is, and you're afraid of it because you perceive it to be very big. You're judging according to the flesh like some uncircumcised unbeliever. Why don't you judge by the Spirit and say, yeah, sure, you're big. You're bigger than I am. But I see someone standing above you, over you, and behind you, who's a whole lot bigger than you are. You're the one who's in trouble, not me. And so David was able to speak to this man and put him down. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? I'll bet you, if you have a fear right now today, you're saying it's bigger than I am, it's more powerful than I am, I have not the resources to meet it. That's the flesh. Judge according to the Spirit. The Spirit, I have a giant with me today in my God who makes this one look by as nothing next to him in size. Are you overestimating your trouble today? Maybe that's why you're afraid. You've been thinking it's too big. It is bigger than you are, but you're overestimating its power next to God. So God says to you, go forward. What then does the Spirit say next to you? He says, Spirit puts into your heart your past. Look at what happens with David. King Saul said to David, you're not able to go and fight with this man, for he's been a warrior from his youth, and you're but a youth. And David said to Saul, King, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear to take a lamb from the flock, I went after that lion or bear, and I smote him and took it out of its mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and I smote him and killed him. Your servant in the past has killed both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, seeing he's defied the armies of the living God. What's the Spirit telling you right now? He's saying, look to your past and say, look at all the giants that you've slain before by the Spirit within you. God has delivered you from every trial, trouble, giant thus far. Why should this one be any different? The same God who saved me from these, he shall save me from this one. That's the Spirit God wants in you. He wants you to live without fear, except only a fear, a godly and right fear of him. And the next thing that the Spirit says to you is, now apply that to your present and take courage for the future. Notice what David says next. He says, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. Do you believe that today? Can you say that today? Say, the Lord who delivered me from my last giant will deliver me from this giant. And God says, go forward. The Lord is with you. All right? If you're standing in the King's highway in Jesus Christ, who or what can stand to stop you? That's the Spirit that God wants in you. He doesn't will that you go through life in fear, but with a courageous boldness. And here's a really big point, is the next thing the Spirit, we see David went forward, he spoke aloud against Goliath, and he fought him. What I want to say to you today about your fears is, a lot of times we just try to counsel them out and reason them out and argue them out and amass arguments why I should not be afraid of these kinds of things. That's only going so far. What you need to do is fight them. Now, I'm not here to counsel you today. I'm here to call you to fight against it, and with loud shouts like David did. Look what happens. The Philistine came and drew near to David. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him. Ha! He's but a youth. Am I a dog that you come against me with sticks? And then, come to me, David, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. Notice how taunting that is, how intimidating. Did David stop and just let those words sit on him and say nothing? He says, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, Goliath, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. In this day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand, for the battle is the Lord's. Think about that. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head and feed it to the beasts of the field and the birds of the air, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And he saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will deliver you into my hand. What did David do? He spoke against Goliath with his words, with loud shouts of victory. Do you do that? I think a lot of times we don't. We just sit there and go, under all these intimidating words that are hounding and haunting us and intimidating and taunting us, and we just sit there and go, God wants you to fight. Stand up and speak against it. Can I give you a personal testimony on that one? All right. You know, I've wrestled with the spirit of fear a lot. Last year, around the spring, I had a very busy spring because I had Easter, and then our centerboard broke in our boat, so I was trying to fix that and get the boat going again. And then my dear dog Barnaby died, and then the doctor put me on blood pressure pills for a month and a half, which started to really mess up my chemicals, I think. He did a good job. He did the right thing, but I was feeling emotionally not like myself. And while I was getting off of those a little later, I actually had some panic attacks. I remember, for no real reason, I was driving a Publix one day, I started to feel panic. And then as I'm getting off of them, I felt a real panic attack one night. And then it just crippled me. I was on the couch, my heart was pounding, I was clammy. I was just felt like I was losing control. It was strange. I've never felt that until then. It was scary, all right? And then I tried again, and I don't know if it was maybe a spirit that was coming against me, because I was in here one night finishing up a sermon, and I felt filled with the Spirit. I was very excited about it. I'd been feeling peaceful, courageous. And then as I was just finishing it, and it was at night here, and I was alone, all of a sudden I could feel it coming on me like a seizing, freezing fear. And it started coming, like overcoming me. And it started to make me want to go, like, whoa. You know, and you know what I did? I said, absolutely not this time. No way, you villain. I said, I am not going to succumb to that. I have just been preaching the spirit of the word here. And I am not going to submit to this spirit of fear. And I could feel it start trying to come up and overcome me. And I said, absolutely not. And I came in here and I started saying, I am a victor in Christ Jesus. And, you know, get out of the way of the king's highway, for I'm standing in the midst of it. You're an uncircumcised Philistine. I'm coming against you with the spirit of the Lord. And I had to keep coming like a pit bull driving someone out of the yard, like an intruder. And I just bore my teeth and kept going after it. And you know what? 15 minutes later, it took 15 minutes of fight. I could feel like a spirit. Maybe it was a demon I was wrestling with. I don't know. But eventually, after 15 minutes, I drove it out of me and out of the church. And I was just sitting in here praising the Lord for the next half an hour or so. I'm telling you today, David stood up to this spirit of fear with the words of faith. And I'm saying you stand up to the spirit of fear in your life with the words of the gospel of Jesus Christ and with the words of the Holy Spirit. It will have to back down because you're in the king's highway. You are anointed of the Lord. You have not the spirit upon you as David did, but in you. And so stand up and fight. God didn't give us a spirit of timidity, but power and love and self-control. The one in you is greater than the one who's in the world. And when the Philistine arose and drew near to David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag, took the stone, slung it, and struck the Philistine in the head. And it sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. And there was no sword in the hand of David. How small are you today next to your great giant? Oh, there's a greater giant inside of you. And I'll tell you, Jesus Christ has removed all your threats and all your fears. He's already put the enemy down even before you get there. He's given you the Spirit, and he's removed your every threat. It's but bread for you. Its protection is removed. Let's go get him. You know why? He removed the threat of sin by dying for us that we might be forgiven. He removed the threat of death by dying for us that we might not have the power of death over us. He removed the threat of God's judgment because now we have peace with God through his blood. And there's no fear in love, God says. Perfect love casts out fear. And he's removed the threat of the devil and his angels, for he's disarmed them at his cross and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in Jesus. And so God says, go forward and do not be afraid. When evildoers assail me, David says, uttering slanders against me, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Amen.